beat that down. In other words, why should somebody go to medical school and go through specialized cardiothoracic surgery training?
Right.
You know, 5 to 10 years extra after med school.
Yes.
If they're going to level the playing field and let him be a primary care doctor with 2 years of postgraduate experience, and let him see coughs and colds, and they're both going to walk home with the same paycheck.
Could that be one of the reasons, Mark and Bob, that when you look at the medical shows on TV, they're all jokes now? They show the doctors having sex and joking and crying about dying patients and all. Man, because it wasn't like that when I went to the hospital with Lucy.
Right.
No. I didn't see that foolishness going on there.
The medical aspect of those shows is just a backdrop for all the sex.
Right.
It's not a medical show. It's a sex show.
Exactly.
It's just a background. We put the serious environment where there are doctors and hard cases and blood and guts, and you put these people in these situations, and because of the pressure of their job, they jump each other's bones every week.
You
don't. Well, and it also it also is, again, in the way of tearing down capitalistic ideas or ideas of excellence. It's to take these people who are considered more pillars of society, people that actually, you know, number one, trained tremendously hard. They went into it for the right reason because they really truly wanted to make a difference in people's lives and improve their livelihoods, you know, and their quality of life. I mean, they did it for all these right reasons. Yes, they get paid well for it, but they worked extremely hard to get there. And now we want to just kind of say, well, they're all just a bunch of slimy dogs anyway. That's all that, you know, they're not.
They're not
professionals. They're just, you know, as raunchy as any other guy on the street.
Number 354 says it all, guys. Government will restrict enrollment for special needs individuals. Now, I would be one of those special need individuals. Because when people get old, their body starts to break down. Mm-hmm. They have to see a doctor more regularly. Mm-hmm. If I start urinating a lot and have to go to the toilet every 5 minutes to take a leak, there's obviously something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to go see a doctor and say, hey, tell me what's wrong. I don't expect them to give me a couple of packs of Pampers.
How would they even read into this more, whether they think that's a special needs or some little boy who's a little girl that has Down syndrome or retarded, if they see that as more special needs versus your body coming apart. They wouldn't see that as, that's something completely different. This is, I think, I don't know, but
older how would people they would
read
have,
into it? Yeah, I read more that is somebody who's retarded or handicapped or something like that. That
they wouldn't see your physical,
but for instance, if
falling apart as a special need, they just give you some Pampers to send you home.
But see, if they're going to restrict the employment of those, for one thing, is there's a very high incidence of congenital heart defects,
absolutely,
in Down syndrome children, and they often need open heart surgery and tremendous repairs, and they still have a relatively short livelihood. They usually only last about 25-30 years in general. Even with all that type of surgery, but it's entirely possible that they're going to say, you know,
they're going to cut that too.
All of that kind of money on repairing that kid's heart, that's a heck of a lot of money for a pretty short slide, because this kid's not going to really be a very productive member of society and he's not going to live very long.
So get into the quality of their life and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe we really don't need to fix his heart, and it'll probably be a blessing if he just passes away at the age of 4.
You'll tell some parent, just be happy with the time you have.
All right. If anybody wants a reason why this thing ought to be dumped, it's number 430. Government will decide what level of treatment you may have at end of life.
Right.
Now, I read that and I said, That little thing that I just had to pay these people for cost me $175. I'm going to have to get that thing amended to my deal. The government's going to whack that at any time.
And they're going to hand you your little pill. So anytime you want to check out, just take this.
I cannot believe that I'm witnessing Soylent Green 1984 and everything all in one swoop.
Did you see 489?
I'm afraid to look. 489 says, yes. Government will cover marriage and family therapy. What?
Read it, the rest of it.
Government intervenes in your marriage?
Well, of course, because...
No, it, what?
Again, you have to remember.
No, what?
Every single thing, when they're talking about the government having access to all your financial and personal records, is you have to realize that when they're talking about paying for performance on the physicians, well, how are they going to know how the physician performed? See, up until now, the doctor and the patient went in the room together.
That was private consultation.
And then the healthcare was determined, and they came out of the room. Now the government has to be in the room. And they have to say, well, did the doctor do what was appropriate? Pay for performance. We're going to pay him according to how he performed. Well, I need to see that patient's medical record. I need to see exactly what he did and what he's trying to ask me to pay him for. And so now when that comes down to marriage and family therapy, that means I have to be able to review that record and find out what the conversation was.
That's invasion of privacy, and that's a police state.
This whole thing is.
That thing is a police state, eugenics, and everything else. And Obama is pushing this thing with his cohort. We slipped so rapidly. There is an excellent, I'm going to find it, YouTube clip out. Someone sent it to me. It was Ronald Reagan speaking when he was a president and when he was speaking against socialized medicine. It's about a 10-minute audio clip on YouTube with late President Reagan, who really broke it down, the dangers of the government having this kind of control of your life. Now, some people might think, well, he was just for the rich and the elite. I've often thought that if a person has something, it's because they work for it and it belonged to them. That is the private enterprise section of business. This is, you can become a millionaire. You can become rich. It's your money. No one should be able to take your money from you if you've earned it legitimately. The poor people that don't have any money, we should have social services to help them eat and to work and to live in a comfortable way, but they do not have the right to take my money if I work for my money harder than they work for the money that they're getting for nothing. This is something for nothing, and I'm thinking that it's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
268 and 272.
All right, Mark found something else. 268 says the government regulates rental and purchase of power-driven wheelchair. Get up out of here.
At 272?
That's already done with Medicare.
No, they got a guy giving out these free little wheelchairs on television for people.
Yeah, they do.
That's not the government, is it?
No, you wait.
What do you mean? Then they can't take his business. That's for the senior citizens to roll around.
If it's capitalism, they're going to take it.
That is bait and switch.
What you talking about?
He is going to process the paperwork for your government-paid-for wheelchair. The government will deny it. Do you want to know who gets a power-driven wheelchair?
Who?
The guy that needs it to get from his bed to his bathroom. If he can get to his bed, from his bed to his bathroom with a walker or with crutches or by scooting himself across the floor, he does not get a power-driven wheelchair. That's the qualification. Household ambulation. It's not for going to the fair in your electric chair. It is for getting from your bed to your bathroom. If you can't get from your bed to your bathroom or your bed to your kitchen without a power-driven. So in other words, if you have the use of your arms and you can scoot yourself into a regular wheelchair to get from your bed to your bathroom, you do not qualify. You basically have to be quadriplegic and you need to have somebody that can pick you up and set you in the chair, and then you have to be able to control it. If you have a little bit of hand movement with the electric hand control or with the tube control where you blow into it because you're quadriplegic and your arms don't work. Those are the people that qualify for an electric wheelchair paid for by the government. These guys on the TV, they promise to pay you the paperwork, and then they promise we will get you a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then basically, oh, the government denied it, but we have a special deal for you.
So Grandpa spinning around in the chair with his grandchildren, following him out in the garden, and everything is a lie. Come on, what was the other one?
They paid for the wheelchair themselves after the government denied paying. Governments, you know, these guys are trying to make it sound like the government's handing out electric wheelchairs. That's not the case. So the government already regulates rental and purchase as far as the government paying for it. I mean, obviously, they don't regulate if you go outside and buy your own or rent your own.
Number 272 says, cancer patients, welcome to the wonderful world of rationing.
Right.
Right for what?
In other words, basically, they're going to determine, you know, whether your cancer is survivable or not. And if not, they're not going to waste a lot of money on you.
So they're going to not waste money. They're going to get you, I got to give you all the drugs you need to.
Here again, if the family says, Daddy, get the surgery, all right? And Daddy's prepping himself up for the surgery because he has a, let's say, a 60-40 chance of survival. And then the government steps in and says, no, we've done our evaluation, and 60-40 is not a range enough where we want to spend money. Mm-hmm. Now, if Daddy has a couple of $1 million that he just won in the lottery, he could probably buy his way to get the surgery, right?
Either that or go to another country, yeah, and pay for it.
So he's going to have to spend more money to go out of the country.
To stay alive a few more years.
To stay alive to get some, and then come back home? Oh, my God.
This is Obama's plan to change America.
I'll tell you what more people are going to do, because a fair amount of American-trained doctors are already doing this. A fair amount of them are doing joint replacement surgeries in India, where people pay for a luxury vacation at a luxury hotel type of resort, where they go to India for 2 weeks. They go there, have their surgery done, and rehab in this beautiful luxury resort area for 2 weeks, and then they come back home. And it's cheaper than it would cost them to pay some of the top-notch surgeons' fees here in the States. Okay. So there's a fair amount of doctors that are living over in these tropical environments, American-trained, that are doing that. You will definitely see. The other thing, you know, you want to talk about some of the other effects. Here's some of the other effects. Number one, why would any intelligent individual who's got these skills and the talent and the brains to be one of the best doctors in the U.S., why would they go through the years of medical school so they can work under this system? You're going to get a bunch of losers that are going to end up being your doctors here.
You're going to find a lot of
care is going to drop way down.
Again, doctors are extremely resourceful. They're extremely sharp. They're extremely talented. Many will find alternative careers that you're not going to get sued by doing, performing. Mm-hmm. Still something that there is challenging enough for them to find, for them to find it interesting and a new avenue for them to explore and take care. And so a lot of the top doctors are going to jump out of the system. They're going to say, we're done with this.
Yes.
We're done.
Yes.
You know, you turn the screws to us so much. We're already pressured a lot. We're already got guns to our heads every time we treat a patient because of the stupid lawyers.
Right.
You know, I'm done. I'm just done. I'm going to go into a field and I'm going to
take my talent elsewhere where it's appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
And they're going to pursue other, just go for other pursuits. And make, because there's a lot of, trust me, there's a lot of doctors that do bail out of medicine that do a lot of stuff that's much more lucrative than medicine is. And so the very highly talented people that are very sharp and very resourceful are going to say, you know, good luck, Obama. congratulations, you crashed the boat, and I'm jumping ship before it crashes. So you're going to be left with a healthcare system in a shambles because there's going to be less doctors. The ones that are there are going to be less qualified, less motivated. I mean, again, you destroy somebody's motivation and you pay them the same amount regardless of whether they work hard or not, then eventually their spirit is broken and they're no longer interested in, you know, in busting their rear in order to move ahead, because they're not going to move ahead anyway.
And then words like integrity, excellence, and the pursuit of the same are just thrown out with everything, because there's no more excellence in any pursuit to be the best in the field.
Right.
All right. You know, you're going to have a bunch of people coming through med school just working for the government. Just like the doctors in the failing communist countries. They showed up in filthy offices and, hey, we don't have anything to work with. They made no consultation with care or perfection. We're just going to become a bunch of autotrons. Wow, that's...
Man. You know, I mean, you mention a lot of times how I dress.
Yes.
When I see my patients.
Yes.
You know, here today I'm coming from work. And
right.
You notice that I have a nice shirt and tie. I'm
very nicely dressed all the time.
And because I take pride in my work.
Right.
How I dress, it gives an impression of this is a guy who is perfectionistic.
This is
a guy right. who I'm going to want to do my surgery, because if he dresses impeccably, he must do impeccable surgery. Yeah. If he's a dirty slob and he doesn't care, number one, that's a disrespectful to the patient.
Yes.
That's saying, the doctor is saying the message, I don't really give a crap what you think about me.
Right.
You know, you're in my office, but I have no respect for you.
Same thing with me when I go to school to teach at the college. It's a tie, a jacket, you know, a pair of Dockers. You know, my hair, I'm going to have it neat, trimmed and everything, because that's the impression that I want to give. I'm teaching you a subject matter that's important. I'm in charge of this. I'm giving you some important information. You need this for life. Most of the professors go,
and it's respectful to your students.
Absolutely.
You're saying, you know, if you come in dressed as a slob, all disheveled.
I don't want to go there looking like them.
You're telling the students, you know, you guys are just a bunch of scum, and I don't really,
right.
you know, I could care less what you think.
Right.
So that all, and it costs money. It costs money to dress well.
Yes.
It, you know, if all of a sudden you're cut so deeply on your income that, you know, you're now scraping, you're not going to be able to dress appropriately, what I think is appropriately, and give the patient, I mean, that gives the patient confidence in their doctor. It gives them, you know, gee, this is somebody that I can look up to. This is somebody that really cares about me, cares about what he does. And so that whole thing is just out the window. And like you said, you're going to go into some dirty office with a dirty, disheveled doctor, and he's going to give you medical care. And when you get your infection, you won't even be surprised, because, you know.
Probably got it from him. Yeah, that's rough. Okay. They were talking about passing this thing by
August.
August.
Voting on it.
They're voting on it the end of August, middle of August, or what?
No, it's been moved to October because he doesn't have the votes now to get it through.
Yeah, well.
Because there are a lot of people on the GOP side, the Republican side, and some Democrats that are beginning to fight this now.
Yeah.
So he's had to push it back to October.
Okay, this is the last question, and then we'll be finished because we're over time. What happens if we don't get this? What do we do? What happens to us as a country?
Well, if we don't get this,
yeah.
You know, everybody's already tightening their belts.
True.
And so, you know, the economy is shrinking.
Yes.
People are losing their health insurance. And the county hospitals are becoming, you know, more overloaded by more uninsured people. Already, one of the major costs of driving up healthcare is new technology. And hospitals aren't going to be embracing new expensive technology. You know, it's going to kind of stabilize for a while as far as not a lot of new major breakthroughs happening, especially when so many of those new breakthroughs are so expensive.
How ought Christians to respond to this, in your opinion?
Well, I think that Christians have a responsibility to their families. And I think in the day and age where we are tightening our belts, you know, we need to really stop, take a look, and evaluate and see, where is our money going? Where is our resources going? You know, yeah, okay, my employer used to provide health insurance. I lost that job. Now I have a part-time job. I don't have health insurance, or I'm working two part-time jobs, and that still doesn't give me health insurance. Okay, what do I need to do? Do I need to keep paying the cable bill? Do I need
the
52-inch flat screen?
Right, right.
You know, can I afford to buy a used car that gets better mileage and isn't as fancy? And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, really reprioritizing and downsizing and putting your family's health care on a higher level where, okay, I did have a car payment for a new car. That car payment has to change, and that has to become an insurance payment for my family,
right?
Because I'm no longer getting my health care provided for.
Right. You can't have everything that you used to have. Yeah, no. That's a good solution. You can't have that. During difficult time, you got to make the difficult choices. And in making those difficult choices, you're going to have to downgrade yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just as simple as that. People have always done that.
You can't just pray and hope that nothing bad happens to anybody in your family.
Nope.
Lest you be the man in the county hospital.
Yep.
Waiting in the long line.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you. I think that you've helped a lot of our listeners that come in. I want to thank whoever sent it to me. I forget them. But they mailed it and said, look at this, John. You find it interesting. And indeed, I have. I want to thank you guys for showing up. And
thank you.
It is always a privilege. And Mark Ramsey and Bob Klink, if we would say one thing to the people, we would tell them to what?
Stay into the word.
God bless you.
God bless.
And good night.